Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Dalad Amid Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, the Gemara had discussed what is the Halach Ravanan told us if a Mumel Avodah Zara could be somebody who is qualified to Shecht. The Gemara attempted to bring a Raya that such an individual is qualified to be a Shaychet. The Gemara's Raya was from Achav, that we find that Achav and Yehoshaphat, and Achav we know and we will discuss, was a Rasha, yet his Yehoshaphat, who we explained in a previous year, was his Mechutin, ate together with him, clearly indicating that you're allowed to eat the Shechit, and Achav and Yehoshaphat was a tzaddik. So the Gemara said that perhaps they didn't eat together, and the Gemara says that the pasuk says v'yisisehu, and yisisehu means that they ate together. But ask the Gemara, and v'dil megaver d'achav havamalam, maybe Achav's people were good people, and if they were good people, then their shechita would be a good shechita. And therefore, we have no problem he would have no problem from where they were eating. Says the Gemara, Loisakadatach. It doesn't make sense to say that Achav's people were good people. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Moishel Makshiv Adva Sheker, Kom Shasav Rishoim. Person who's a bad person, his assistants are also not good. Mitzvah Eisen explains this Gemara according to what Chazal teaches in Masechta Tainis of Chof Dalar Man Aleph. He says that the people who are leaders are called Einei Ha'eda. Says the Gemara says they're Mashal Kala Sheinei Yafis. If you have a Kala who has beautiful eyes, that ain't called Gufa Tzricha Bedika. It's an indication that she is a wonderful person. And therefore, determining or being able to know how people are is by looking at their leader. So as we keep on repeating, Achav was a Rasha, it can't be that his people were good people, says the Gemara. But perhaps what happened over here was, the Yeshafet's people weren't so great. And what happened here was, Zavuach Gavri D'Achav, Ochel Gavri D'Yishofet, what Achav's people, who we just identified as not being so great, were the ones that shechted for Yishofet's people who were perhaps also not that great. And Zavuach Avadja, who was the administrator of Achav's home, who, as we keep on repeating, was a tzaddik, he only needed to shecht enough, just as much as Yehoshaphat would have to eat. And says the Gemara, Loisakadatach. That too, the Gemara says, doesn't seem to be correct. And the Gemara explains why does not seem to be correct, for the same reason that we just gave. Loisakadatach, Midah Marshal Makshav Dvash Shekha Kom Shos Rishoyim. If we say that a leader who is not that is not good, then his assistants are not good. L'dvar emes, if you have a person who's a good leader, then it's obvious that Mesharsus Tzadikim, his people that will work for him, will be good people. But now, there's an obvious question that the Tzitzkas HaTzadik asks. We keep on repeating in our shir, Tzadikim have Tzadikim who work for them, and Rishoyim have Rishoyim that work for them. But now we just said that Achav was a Rasha and Avadja was a Tzaddik. How does that work? We just established that Achav shouldn't have any good people. So the Tzitzkas Tzaddik says that Achav had in him some positive trait. The Gemara says, Achav Vatran b'moynahaya. Vatran was a generous person. Because Achav was a generous person, he wasn't completely bad. If he wasn't completely bad. That's why he was able to have Avadya as an assistant who was a tzaddik. Says the Gemara, Dilma, so ask the Gemara keeps on persisting. What Achav shechted and his people were eaten by Achav and his people. And Zvuach Gavrit Yishofet, Ochel Yishofet V'Gavri. And what Yishofet was he ate was slaughtered by his people, who the Gemara just said were tzaddikim. Answers the Gemara, L'hav Mafg Nafshi B'nei. That the Gemara doesn't want to accept, because the Gemara says that the whole purpose of them being together was because they got along so well. And now we're saying that they didn't eat, that Yishofet refused to eat with him. And that is just the opposite that what happened. So the Chasam Sofer asks, we discussed in our previous shiur that whenever you eat from the shechita of such an individual, even if we hold that the shechita of such an individual is considered an acceptable shechita, there's still another consideration, and that is that we have to check the knife. So why is Al-Gemara so concerned? The knife was checked by Yishofet, and they determined that the knife is good, and everything therefore should be fine. So he answers that the Gemara that we just learned is really the answer to the question. Because the Gemara just said that what we find here is that they were trying to develop this great relationship, there was this great relationship between Achav and Yishofet. If, as we're going to say now, well, Achav refused to eat, Yishofet didn't eat anything until he checked the knife, that's not the way you establish a warm and strong relationship. Therefore, Chasam Sofer says it can't be that that's what happened. Minolan, says the Gemara, how do we see that Yishofet was so anxious to have this positive relationship with Achav? If we'll say, from what it says in the Pasuk, that Yishofet said to Achav, "Kamani kamaychi kami kamecha," clearly indicating such a wonderful, warm relationship. Elamato, the pasuk says, "Kesusi kesusecha," our horses are all connected. Hachanami, does that mean that when he said that kind of a statement, that he meant that we're so close? Ella, mada have a susu. What Yishofet meant to say is that I'm tying my fate to you. And whatever happened to your horses, Tevesusi should happen to my horses. Ma dahava alach valai, imach, whatever we're having, whatever we're having to your people, to have alai valai ami, but not to indicate that they had to trust each other, says the Gemara Mahacham. So back to where we started, how do we know that Yishofet ate from Achav's meal? Says the Gemara, the proof is Mihacham. The pasuk says, "Melech Yisrael v'Yishofet Melech Yehuda, Yoshim Ish Al Kisoy Milboshim Begodim Begoyin Pesach Shar Shamrim." They were sitting together at the entrance to Shar Shamrim. Mai, what does that mean? If it means Goyin Mamish, if it means that they had a granary at the entrance to the city, ask the Gemara, Otashah Shemrim Goren Hava, does it make sense to say that at that spot, at the entrance to Shemrim, there was a Goren? And as the Ritva explains, the Torah is very specific how the entrance to a city looks. And it has to be beautiful. It's not the place, and even in Chutz Loretz, it's not the place that they should have a granary as they're entering the city. What does the pasuk mean to teach us? El Kigurin. The place they sat looked like a Gurin. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us from Sechta Sanhedrin, how the setup of the Sanhedrin was. Sanhedrin Haysa Kechatzi Gurin Agula. The Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle, Kadesh Shiroim Zezeh, in order that they should be able to see each other. So the pasuk pshat is, when you have a semicircle, then everybody could see everybody else. It would be straight line, then they wouldn't be able to see each other. Another pshat that I saw is that you want the people, the Rosh Bezdin, the head of the Beis Din and the Sgan Rosh Beis Din and his assistant sat in the middle of that semicircle. And you want everybody to see and hear, everybody on the Sanhedrin, to see and hear these two prominent people. So if you're sitting in a semicircle, everybody, they could see everybody and everybody could see them. Of course, the question is, then that could be taken care of even if they're sitting in a circle. Why did I have to sit in a semicircle? And the practical answer is that they want that the people who are here for the entire, the litigants, and the Edom should be able to stand in front of that semicircle, and all the people sitting in the semicircle would be able to see them. But the bottom line is, people who want to see each other, people who want to connect, are individuals who sit in a semicircle. The fact that we find that Achav and Yehoshaphat sat in a semicircle is clearly an indication that there was a special relationship amongst them, and they ate from each other. But now the Gemara brings another raya that you could eat for what Rav Anan has told us, that you could eat from the shechita of a mumer. And as I saw, Rabbi Kivega explains that why is the raya that we just learned not sufficient? So Rabbi Kivega explains the entire basis of the Gemara that we just finished learning is that a tzaddik has the people who associate with the tzaddik, who work for the tzaddik, are tzaddikim, and vice versa, the people who work for Rosh are Rishoyim. Rabbi Kivega says that although that's what the Pasuk in Mishlei teaches us, and although that is normally the case, there are exceptions to that rule. And since there are exceptions to the rule, this could be an exception, and that's why Yehoshaphat was able to eat from their meat. So the Gemara brings another raya. The Pasuk says, Lema Masailai, the Pasuk says by Eliyahu, for the years that Eliyahu was hiding from Achav. And the Pasuk says, Arvim Avim Lem Lechem Abbasim Abbaikar, or Lechem Abbasim Erev. Where was this brought from? The meat came from Achav's kitchen. So the fact that it came from Achav's kitchen is a proof that you could eat from that shechita. So says the Gemara, we can't bring a raya from that story. Because what happened was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu to eat the meat that the Arvim brought. As the Pasuk says explicitly, Vesa Arvim Tzivisi L'chal Kalech Hashem. I told the Arvim to bring you that food. And therefore, since I told you that to eat that food, it's a raya, it's not a raya. So the Ritva explains that what is Pshata, what happened here, Hashem told Eliyahu that the meat that was delivered by these ravens was not prepared by Avdei Avodah Zarah, but rather was prepared by Avadya, who we just said was the person who ran Achav's palace. Rashi explains that the reason Eliyahu was able to eat this meat because it was a Hirah Shah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him explicit permission, even though technically, it should not be permissible. The Ritva and the Marshal are not satisfied with Rashi and Tosfos Pshat, because why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask Eliyahu to eat non-kosher meat prepared by Achav, then have a way of making sure that Eliyahu Anavi got kosher meat? The Chasam Sofer, in defending Rashi's Pshat, has a different point. He says, Eliyahu Anavi had no right to eat Avadya's meat without permission. And Hashem would have never had the Arvim bring meat that was stolen. And therefore, so now we have a situation. On one hand, Eliyahu had to eat, and he can't eat Avadya's meat, because that would be meat that Avadya had no right to serve him. And says the Chasam Sofer, but Eliyahu was entitled to eat that meat, because Achav was responsible to feed him. And therefore, he could have eaten that meat, even though it wasn't eaten with permission. So The Shas Tshuvas Chavon ben Naimi, the Naimim, asks a question. He says, according to this, it was the way we've been learning Rashi's Pshat, Tosfos Pshat, there was a special dispensation that a Kadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu, you could eat this meat. But isn't there a rule, famous Gemara, more than once in Shas, the Loi B'Shemayim Hi, that the Torah is not B'Shemayim, and the Halacha is the Halacha. So the question now is, if the Halacha is the Halacha, and the Halacha says that this meat may not be eaten, Basar Shen Asal Manayim, or meat that was slaughtered by somebody who's not allowed to eat the meat. So just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says you could eat it, doesn't make that the halacha, and we follow the concept of Loi B'Shemayim. So he says a very big chiddush. He says that where does the rule of Loi B'Shemayim apply? He says the Loi B'Shemayim applies when we're speaking about something that affects other people. So I can't give a psak that affects other people when the halacha says that it's not permissible. But here, it wasn't the other people that were affected. It was only Eliyahu HaNavi based, and Eliyahu HaNavi had a directive from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be allowed to eat the meat. And therefore, if it's something that he heard directly, Me'adibur, and it's something, it's a situation that doesn't affect other people, under those circumstances, Eliyahu HaNavi has a right to follow what he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do. Says the Gemara, my Arvim. What is the definition of Arvim? Says the Gemara, Amar Vina Arvim Amish, ravens. Amar Rav Ada Ben Menyumi. So Rav Ada Ben Menyumi said to him, V'dam Lekrei Gavri Davishmaya Arvim. Maybe what's meant here is that there were two people that were called Arvim. And the question, of course, is that how could somebody give their child a name Arvim? Arvim is a not kosher bird. So some suggest that these Arvim that the Pasuk is referring to were not Jewish people. A Jewish person is not supposed to have a name like Arvim. But now we're not speaking about Jewish people. Since we're not speaking about Jewish people, so it's not a question, how did they have a name, Arif? So, me like Siv. And the Gemara doesn't see, the Gemara proves there were people with such a name. The Pasuk says, Yehagos Arif Betzor, Arif Azev. So we see that there were people that were called with such a name. Amalei, Esrami Milsa, the Tavai have a Shemayu Arvim. So says the Gemara, yes, you could suggest that there are people that have the name Arvim, but that specifically, it was two people who had the exact same name, Oyriv, that is obviously an unusual name, and they were the people that were the people that brought the meat, unusual. Says the Marva Duma, maybe the reason they were called Arvin is Al Shem Mekaimam. Sometimes people are called by the place that they come from, and the Gemara proves that. Me like Siv, don't we see in the Pasuk? V'aram Yotzu Gedudim, V'yishma Me'at Yisrael Naru K'tana, V'kashlon, and the Pasuk is sort of difficult to understand. First, the Pasuk says Naru, and Naru we know is a girl who's over 12 years old that brought Shtei Saris, and the next word it says she was a K'tana. So what was she, a K'tana or a Naru? V'amar Abdas, K'tana, she was really a K'tana. But she was called, and the reason she was called a Nara is because she came from the city Nurin. So we see that a person is called from where they came. Maybe these two people came from the city Oirif. Says the Gemara, if that's what the Pasuk means to say, that they were from the city of Arvim, says the Gemara, Mekan Orvayim Iboile. They should have been called Orvayim. Ask Tosfos that we find many times that the Torah speaks about people and identifies them from where they came, and they're not, and the Torah doesn't say it that way. The Torah says Ivrim, Mitzrim, and it doesn't say to Yud. So Tosfos answers that in a place where it doesn't make a difference, so the halacha indeed is that the Torah won't be so makbid, won't be so careful to use the word, to spell it one way or the other. But here we have a situation where the name is so important. And since the name is so important, that's why it would, if it meant Arvayim, that's what the Pasuk would say. Otherwise, it could lead us to the wrong conclusion, as we're discussing in our Gemara. Says the Gemara, another raya, that a mumal avos kechavim shchitosik sheir. Lema mesayle, the brisa we quoted in Daftalan Rebeis, says, hakoshachtim afil kutiv afil ariv afil yisrael mumar. And the Gemara asked, hi, oral hechidomi, exactly who is this oral? Ilem shemeim su'achos machos milo, the person who brothers passed away, there's apparently family history of being hemophiliac. Says the Gemara, that person, Hayisrael Mahalyahu, the reason he didn't have a bris is because, unfortunately, he's an oinus. El Pshita, we're speaking about a person who a mumal arelis, as we discussed in our previous shir, Machaikas Roshayim. Rashi says mumal arelis is a person who is a individual who deliberately did not have a bris mila. Tysus disagrees, and Tysus says the definition of an oral is somebody who didn't have a bris because he's scared. Amos Sefer, so says the Gemara, that's how we're going to interpret the first part of the Braisa. Let's continue learning the Braisa. The Braisa says, Vafil Yisrael Mumar. Hechidami. Im Mumar Dover Echad. We're speaking about a person who doesn't do one of the mitzvahs. So says the Gemara, Hainu Mumar Larelis. We already identified such a situation when the Braisa spoke about the Mumar Larelis. Allah Mat must be the definition of a Mumar. The definition of a Mumar is somebody who's a Mumar Lavaris Kechavim. And as Rav Onan just taught us, that somebody who's a Mumar Lavaris Kechavim, the Shechita is Kosher. Says Marloi, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Loi Lamai Malach Mumar Lavaris Kechavim Loi. An individual who's a Mumar Lavaris Kechavim may not do Shechita. The Omar Mar, as we learned, Chamur Avadish Kechavim, the Avei Ravad Zorah is so strict. If somebody doesn't believe in Avodah Zarah, he is considered an individual who accepted all of the Torah. Ella lemuma isadavar, that the person is an individual who's not careful about eating kosher food. But as we've said many times in our shiurim, he's a mumala teyavin. A mumala hachas is a person who doesn't believe. A mumala teyavin, as we've explained, is a person who doesn't care. And the Braisa is following a proof to what Rava has taught us, Ukud Rava. The Rava taught us on Daf Dalaram and Aleph, that a Mumer, who's Oichem Nevelis the Teoven, his Shchitosai is Kshera. And we already spoke in this Braisa about a Mumer, Ladova Echad. There, we're speaking about a Mumer Larelis. So a Mumer Larelis has no connection to the Avera of eating non-kosher meat. But a mumer, when we speak about an mumer to the Avera of not eating non-kosher meat, so when we speak about such an individual, even if we're saying that somebody who's a mumer only to one Avera doesn't disqualify him, but if it's the Avera that we're talking about, then maybe we should be stricter. Teaches us the Gemara, and again, with the conditions that we spoke about in the previous year. That means that he's an individual who the knife was checked and was being supervised. We may eat his shechita. But on a mumal avodah zarah, such an individual, we won't be able to eat from his shechita. Says the Maaseh, there's a braisa that discusses a person who donates a carbon oila for a neder on the dava. And the Pirag Dosha says, Adam ki yakiv mikem karban Hashem min behema min abakar min atzayin takrivu es kabazcham. And the Torah says the word mikem. When the Torah uses the word mikem, obviously the Torah is saying that from some of you, mikem, from some of you, I will accept the carbon v'loy kulchem, but not all of you. What does that mean? Lahaitzi is a mumer, that we don't accept the carbon from a mumer. Mikem. Furthermore, says the Braisa, by you, chilakti, I make a difference that from someone who's not a mumer, I will accept the carbon, and somebody who's a mumer, I won't accept the carbon, v'loy be'umais. But by Klal Yisrael, I don't, but umos, there's no problem. That means the halacha is we're allowed to accept the carbon from a nachri. And now we're learning that not only maybe we can accept the carbon from a nachri, but a nachri, even if he's a person who doesn't believe in God, we can accept a carbon. And this is, of course, a very interesting distinction. Why are we being more lenient by carbon from a nachri? It doesn't make a difference, the nachri status, versus the carbon that comes from a Yisrael. So I saw a very beautiful pshat. The Gemara Masechta Nedarim discusses that the Kohanim who do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash are a shluchei d'rachmana, a shluchei didon. Are they the shlichim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what they're doing, or are they considered our shlichim? And asked the Panim Iris, we know there's a rule, ain't shlichus l'nachri. A nachri cannot be a shlich on behalf of a Jew. So it must be that the Kohanim are shluchei d'rachmana, because they can't be shluchim of the nachri, because a nachri can't ain't shlichus l'nachri. And the answer to that question is that there's a difference between Yisrael and Akum. By Yisrael, as we just said, there's a question about the Kohanim, Shluchim Rachmana, Shluchim Lidon. But when a Nachri brings a carbon, there is no question. It's the Kohanim, a Shluchim Rachmana. But what does this prove? What this proves is that the status of a Nachri is completely different than the status by a Yisrael. Min HaBehema. Then the pasuk continues with the words Behema. That people who don't fulfill the mitzvahs, who are similar to an animal, just like an animal does not have the intelligence and the ability to understand what a mitzvah means, so too, we don't accept the carbon has to be a person, mikan amru, that even kabanas mipesh Yisrael, we do accept kabanas from Pesh Yisrael, kadesh yachzim b'tshuva. The reason we accept their kabanas is because this will encourage them to do tshuva. Chutz min amumer v'menasach esayayin. Somebody's a mumer. Somebody who pours wine for avodah zarah or mechal shavs b'fresia. Such a person, we don't accept their kabanas. When the Gemara says Pesh Yisrael, all over the Gemara says that the definition of Peshim, this the way Rashi learns, is somebody who does an Aveira b'mezid. The Ramban, however, says that Peshim are even worse than somebody who does an Aveira b'mezid. He says the definition of a Peshaya is somebody who does Aveiras l'hachas. But now ask the Gemara, in understanding what we just learned, it's sort of contradictory. Hagufakasha. Amrit, mikem v'loy kolchem, v'yitzis amumer. First we said that the Torah is teaching us that we don't accept kabanas from amumer. And now we said, Tani, v'ad Tani, then the Brisa continues, says, mekabon kabanas b'yitzis Yisrael. How are we to understand this Brisa? Answers, the Gemara ha'loy kasha. That can be understood. Reisha, the Reisha that refuses to accept the carbon from amumer, that's when he's a mumer l'chal tarakula. An individual who is mumer l'chal tarakula, we don't accept the carbon from him under any circumstances. Metziyasa, that says that we do accept kabanas from Pesh Yisrael, that's going to be somebody who is mumer l'davar echad. He's only a mumer to one thing, says the Gemara. So let's continue learning the Braisa. Ema Seifa. Chos men amumer menasa chesiyah mechal shavs v'fresia. Ask the Gemara, Hai Mumer Hechidomi, who is the Mumer that's mentioned, that is being referred to here at the end of the Braisa? Imumul Chal Tarakula, if we say we're talking about somebody who's a Mumul Chal Tarakula, so Hainer Reisha. The Reisha said that somebody who's a Mumul Chal Tarakula, we don't accept his Kabanas. Vi Mumul Davar Echad, if he's only a Mumer for one Aveira, Kash Mitzyasa that just said, we do accept his Kabanas. El Laf, says the Gemara, Hachikam, this is the way to understand. Chutz menamum elanasach seyayin l'chal shavs v'fresia. And the Brice is coming to teach us that somebody who's a mumer for avodah zarah or for chil shabbos, even though he's only a mumer for one aveira, we don't accept his carbon. But what do we see from here? Says the Gemara, Alma, but what's relevant to our shiur, we learn from here, that Mumal Avaris Kechavim is considered a Mumal Chol Tarakula, and such an individual, we don't accept the carbon from him, and therefore says the Gemara, V'tiyuftad Ravana, where Ravana has been trying to teach us in the last couple of shiurim that somebody who's a mumah for a mumah al avodah zara may be a shaykhet, tiyufta is refuted. So the question that the Cheshek Shlomer asks, if we're referring here to a person who's a mumah to avodah zara, so we shouldn't be able to accept his carbon because we need to be concerned that the animal he brought was brought for avodah zara, and therefore that animal we may not eat. Says the Gemara, says the Cheshek Shlomer, that's not a concern. The reason we need not be concerned is because if somebody has an animal that he worshipped that animal, so he's not bringing that animal to me to eat supper. Moreover, we could say that he's not bringing the animal. He brought just money. And the money certainly wasn't worship for Avodah Zarah. So Gemara is saying that this Avera, these Averas, Mumel Nasa Chesayayin, Chal Shavs Mefresia, this type of Avera is considered such a serious Avera, as we're learning from here, that the Avera of Chil Shabbos is such a serious Avera that's considered like somebody's a Mumel Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam explains, why is Chil Shabbos in that category? So he explains that Shabbos represents the special ois between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, he doesn't recognize the special ois that exists between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, if that's the case, that what makes the Mechal Shabbos so concerning, so then why is it only somebody's Mechal Shabbos b'Feresia? Even somebody's Mechal, as long as the person is Mechal Shabbos, then that should be enough of a reason that he should be considered a Mumer. In fact, there's an interesting question. What is the definition of somebody who's a Mumer? What is the definition of a Mumer of Mechal Shabbos for Asya? So the simple pshat, as the Rashba says, is somebody who is Mechal Shabbos in front of 10 Jews. Tfu Ashar says that it doesn't have to be that he did it in front of 10 Jews. As long as 10 Jews are aware that this person was Mechal Shabbos, that's enough to make him a Mumer. Similar question is, why would it be if somebody's Mechal Shabbos, whatever definition we say for Esya means, but he was Mechal Shabbos by something which is only a Drabonim? The Behetav quotes the Beis Hillel that somebody who is a Mechal Shabbos, even in a Derabbanan, is considered a full-fledged Mumer, is considered a Mechal Shabbos. Others disagreed. Pri Chodesh and the Simla Chadasha disagree, and they're not convinced that that makes you into a Mechal Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that it's actually Mechalikus Rishonim already, that according to the Rambam, such an individual is a Mumer, and according to the Rambam, he's not a Mumer. But again, back to our question, if the reason somebody's Mechal Shabbos is such a problem, so then why would it be a difference if he's, why? Is the difference Feresia or not Feresia? So Ramosha, in the Shalos Tshuvos Igrav Moshe Evan Ezer, Simon Chof, discusses this. He says that somebody's Mechal Shabbos, as we are explaining, is doing something that proclaims denial in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when he does it for Esya, he's showing that I am making this declaration. I'm prepared to make this public declaration that I don't care what Hashem tells us. When somebody does a betzina, so it's not that he doesn't believe in Hashem. He does it because he wants to go to work. He wants to earn money. And even though, of course, Shabbos, we may not do it, but his desire to earn money overrides the halacha of Shabbos. Or he wants to do other things that are easy for him to do, convenient for him to do, even though they're against Shabbos. So even though we're dealing with a person who's doing the wrong thing and he's being mechal Shabbos, but it's not to be interpreted necessarily when he does Betzinah that he means to separate himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He only means to do what's convenient for him. Therefore, there's a difference between Pharesia and Napa Pharesia. The question that the Rishonim already asks, Al Gemara is speaking about Shabbos. To some reason, Mechal Shabbos with Pharesia is considered a mumer. What would be, if somebody is Mechal Yontif or Kippur, that, so it seems that the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam are of the opinion that that's also considered a full-fledged Mechal Shabbos. The Rishash says that Yom Kippur is not like Shabbos. And again, according to the Rambam, that would be the same. Rambam would have the same opinion on Yontif and say that some Mechal Yontif of Pharesia is considered like a Mechal Shabbos. The Or Zerua disagrees with the Rambam. And the Or Zerua's opinion is that Al Gemara is speaking about Shabbos, and only on Shabbos does it have this halacha, not under other circumstances. The Mishnah Berura quotes the Prima Gadim, that even though somebody who does an Aveira L'Teovin could be counted towards a minion, he says somebody who does an Aveira L'Hachis, or, says the Mishnah Berura, somebody who's a Mumaf of Avodah Zarah, or somebody's Mechal Shaz of Pharesia, cannot be included in a minion. And so too is the opinion of the Melamed Lahoyel, that somebody who's a Mechal Shabbos cannot be counted towards a minion. The Mecha Shloima, Rav Shloima Zalman, says, Rotzui, loyal tzarf misha dai Mechal Shabbos b'Pharesia, it's appropriate not to accept the carbon of Mechal Shabbos b'Pharesia for towards being a minion. The Paiskam, however, discuss what will be the halacha if somebody is a tinik shenishba. So somebody who's a mechal shabbos b'Pharesia, but he's a tinik shenishba. So there may be room for leniency because he's a tinik shenishba. Moreover, as we're learning, it has to be only somebody who's mechal shabbos b'Pharesia. Our Gemara also has been discussing under which circumstances we're allowed to take donations from a Nochri. In fact, Al Gemara took a more lenient approach to a Nochri than to Yisrael. From a Nochri, we're always allowed to take. But even though we're allowed to take a gift, a stocker, a carbon from a Nochri, and the relevant Shiloh would be taking stocker from a Nochri, there's a lot of different issues. There are many different issues that come up in such a discussion. One issue that comes up in that discussion is if it's giving tzedakah to people, members of Klal Yisrael who need tzedakah, because there we have to be concerned that it's a chil Hashem that the Nachrim will say the Jews don't take care of each other, they have to come out to the Nachrim. Also, if it's a situation that we're taking a large gift from a Nachri, so by taking a large gift from a Nachri, what we're actually declaring is that we need to rely on them. And therefore, the Paiskim say that it would be, there are many details to this, but the general rule is not to ever take tzedakah from a Nachri in circumstances that we are complete, where it refers to taking care of our own, or in circumstances that it shows that we're completely relying on them, or in circumstances where their donation will be prominent. If it's a situation where their donation becomes a prominent donation, so again, we have a very big concern that we're sort of glorifying what they're doing. There's one more point, and that is we certainly, as we learn our Gemara, understand that if we have a Yisrael who's Mechal Shabbos Pharesia, that the Gemara is saying we're putting him in the same category of a mumer. And we know that the wine that's touched by somebody who's a Mechal Shabbos is wine that we're not allowed to drink. It's considered like wine that was touched by a Nachri. So now the question is, you have a guest in your home who's not religious, and you have wine that's not mvushel, and you're serving this Mechal Shabbos, that wine. So let's think about the situation. This Mechal Shabbos, when you serve him the wine, he's still a Jew. And a Jew is not allowed to drink wine that was touched by a Jew who is Mechal Shabbos. So even though this person is the person himself who's drinking the wine, we're not allowed to do anything that will cause him to do an Aveira. And if serving him such wine means that we're helping him do an Aveira, then that's something we're not allowed to do. And therefore, he can't be, it's not just that we can't let him touch the wine because it will be a problem for us. It's much more fundamental. We're not allowed to help him or let him do something which is wrong. And he, as a Mechal Shabbos, is not supposed to drink that wine. Ask the Gemara. We've learned from the word Mechem to exclude a Mumer. Ask them of a Homa, Hachanafka. Is this learned from the word Mechem? Mechem? Isn't it Mehosum Nafka? The Pasuk says, from Nefer Acha Techta, Me'am Aretz. So we learn Me'am Aretz, that some and not all. Prat Lemumer. That we don't accept the carbon from a mumer. Rav Shimon, Yosef Mishim Rav Shimon, the Pasuk says, Ashlei Shosena B'Shagog V'Yashem. And then the Pasuk says, I heard the love Chatasa Shechata V'Evi Eskabana. So we learn, Hashav Midiyasai. If a person were to know that what he's doing is an Aveira, he would have stopped doing it, from such a person, if he, Rechman Slan, did an Aveira B'Shagig, maybe carbon Ashigasai will accept the carbon. But if he's an individual, says the Gemara, Ein Hashem Yidiyasai, that even if he was told that what he was doing was an Aveira, that would have not stopped him from doing the Aveira. And if every carbon Hashem Yidiyasai, so we don't accept the carbon. And Tosis takes this a step further. Even though this individual at this point is a person that wants to do tshuva, is a person who wants to bring a carbon, that isn't the determining factor. The determining factor is who was that person, what was his situation when he did the Aveira. And if that person, when he did the Aveira, wouldn't have continued doing the Aveira, even if he was aware that what he's doing is wrong, we don't take a carbon. To understand the Braisa, we have two different kabbalas, two different sources why we don't take a carbon. What's the nafkamina? If you have a person that would eat chaylev b'mezid, but he would eat chaylev but not dam. Ve'evi carbon al dam, and he brought carbon because he ate dam b'shogi. That's the nafkamina. The Tanakhama says that this is an individual who's a mumer. This is a person that doesn't care and would eat chaylev. And therefore, we won't accept the carbon for him, even on dam, which is an aveira that he's careful about. According to Reb Shimon, we look at the situation. And what did Reb Shimon just say? That if he would have been aware what he was doing was wrong, he would stop, then we take his carbon. Otherwise not. So if this is an individual that he was told what you're eating is dam, then he would stop, we'll take his carbon, even though had he been eating chalev and he were told that it's chalev, he would have continued. Says the Gemara. But now we go back to what we said earlier, go back to the original question. Our Gemara quoted the Pasuk of Mikem, and from the word Mikem, we learned that we don't accept a carbon from a Mumer. So, but now the Gemara quoted different Pasukim. Answers the Gemara, Chad b'chatas, Chad b'ayla. One Pasuk is teaching us that we don't take a carbon chatas from a Mumer, and that's the Pasukim that we're learning now. And the Pasuk Mekem is speaking about a carbon oila. So obviously the question is, why do we need a Pasuk separately for Chatas and separately for oila? For Tzricha, explains the Gemara. Dishmin Chatas, if we only had a carbon Chatas, B'shumdel Kaparahu, the part of the carbon is to have him have a Kapara. But this is an individual who would continue doing the Aveira anyway. And if this is a person that's going to do the Aveira anyway, so there's no point in helping him get a kapara. Aval oila, when we speak about the carbon oila, the darn who? The carbon oila is just a gift. Ema, the kabamne. We should accept his gift that we should give him that, we should let, that we should accept. If we only had that loch by oilab, it's a gift. And therefore, we should not accept a gift. We will not accept a gift from a, such an individual. Aval chattis. When we speak about a chattis, which the Torah says that if somebody does an aveir b'shoigig, he has to bring a carbon, the chayuvahu. So the fact that he's a mumer should not make a difference. And therefore, emel kavamanei, we should accept the carbon from him, tzricha. So the Mishnah Melech says that, of course we can't accept a carbon from a mumer. A mumer is a rasha. And we know that the Torah says that zevek rishoyim ta'eva. And we can't accept a carbon from a rasha. So Tosfos answers that, as we mentioned a few moments ago, that we're speaking here about a case that the person did the aveira, and indeed at the time he was doing the aveira, he was a mumer. But now he's about tshuva. So since at this point he's about tshuva, so that should, he's not in the category of zevek rishoyim ta'eva, and because zevek rishoyim ta'eva, that isn't the consideration. Devin also says that the pasuk of zevek rishoyim ta'eva is not a pasuk in the Torah. And since it's not a pasuk in the Torah, even though, yes, the pasuk is very sharp, and the pasuk says that we don't accept the carbon from, that such a carbon is ta'eva, it's not a halach, it's not a firm halacha, it's not a firm halacha. The pasuk said, mina behema, and we learned, Bikan Amru, Mekaben Kabanas Mikosh Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, Kalhecha, is that true? Whenever the word behemah is used, Greyusuhu, it's to be interpreted that it's speaking about lower level people. Ask the Gemara, Vaksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, Adam behemah Tashi Hashem, Vam Rabbi Huda Amarav, El Ben Adam Shemarum Bedas, people who are, have Seichel, that are very bright, and they act in a very humble, modest fashion. So we see that the word behema can have a positive note. And it's the Gemara Hossam, the pasuk says, Adam u'behema. And when we say Adam together with behema, that is positive. Hocha, however, behema l'chudoksiv. Here, the Torah uses the words behema by itself. When the Torah uses the word behema by itself, it has a negative connotation. Ask the Gemara, the kolhech d'ksiv Adam behema, is that true wherever the Torah says Adam behema together, mal yusuhu, that is a positive? For ksiv, the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, v'zratis beis Yisrael zer Adam zer behema, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring Mashiach, v'mehera yimeinu, and he's going to multiply both people and animals. And the Gemara Masechta Sota Daf Chav Beis Amud Aleph explains that the pasuk there is speaking about Amei Oretz, that never learned and never studied, and the pasuk is saying that Zera Adam are the people who are Tamid Chachamim, and Zera Behema are the people who are Amei Oretz. So we see that the word Behema is used in a negative sense, even though it's together with Adam. And says the Gemara, that's not considered a situation where the pasuk put Adam Behema together. Because let's read the words of the pasuk. The pasuk says Zera Adam v'Zera Behema, which indicates Zera Adam l'chud v'Zera Behema l'chud, that the people and the behemoths are considered totally separate. Since they're considered totally separate, it's not that it doesn't have a positive connotation. The Kozmog Rebbe says that one of the Hashanahs that we say during Sukkot Hashanah Rabbah is to say Hashanah Tzoyin Kedoshim, Shain Kachim. And the question is, what is so special? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save us because Hashanah should save us because we're like Tzoyin Kachim. So he says, what we mean to say when we say that on Hashanah Rabbah is what our Gemara is speaking here. It's speaking about people that are Ruma Medas, people who are very smart, they go like Tzoyin. They're completely subservient to the will of Hashem. They're completely subservient to whatever Hashem does is acceptable to them. Tzoyin Kachim, Klai Yisrael, if they act that way, Hashanah HaKadosh Baruch Hu will save us.